A new biography explores the life of one of President Bush's closest advisors. Condoleezza Rice was National Security Advisor on 9/11. Today, as Secretary of State, she faces fallout from the war in Iraq. She is among the administration's most prominent figures, but does not reveal much of herself in public statements. New York Times reporter Elizabeth Buemiller tried to dig deeper. She spoke with Rice and people who knew her about growing up in segregated Birmingham, Alabama during the Civil Rights Movement.
Condi Rice knew one of the girls who was killed in the September 1963 bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church. And that really was the kind of dividing line in her childhood between a sort of certain innocence. Her parents kept her away from the firestorm in Birmingham after that.
How did that firestorm affect her?
Well, she says not. She says that it certainly made her conscious for the rest of her life about race. How could it not? She's black. She says that it made her stronger. I think that there is an element of rage in her that she doesn't talk about, she may not acknowledge completely to herself, but it's come out in different points in her life. There's a famous, infamous incident where she is at a jewelry counter after she was either a professor or provost at Stanford, very successful woman at that point, and she asked to see the jewelry, and the clerk shows her the costume jewelry. And Condi Rice says, no, I want to see the good jewelry. And the clerk said something huffy, and Condi Rice says to her, let's get one thing straight. You're behind the counter selling jewelry because you make $6 an hour, and I'm here asking for the good jewelry because I make considerably more.
You could imagine someone who's in public life saying, I grew up in Alabama in the 1960s, and I had these experiences, and that's why I became a civil rights activist, or that's why I became a member of Congress standing for these particular issues. How did she end up being an expert in the Soviet Union?
Well, she was going to be a concert pianist. That was the plan. But she discovered when she was 17, she went out to Aspen to a music festival for prodigies, and she discovered that, lo and behold, she wasn't quite the prodigy she thought, that there were 12- and 13-year-olds who could play Beethoven and Mozart. And at that point, she was floundering, and she one day wandered into a class at the University of Denver, international relations taught by one Joseph Korbel, who was, of all people, Madeleine Albright's father.
The later Secretary of State under President Clinton.
George, yes, and he became a mentor to her, and he was giving a lecture on Stalin, and she became fascinated by the Byzantine power of the Soviet Union. And from that moment on, she pursued her interest in the Soviet Union and Soviet studies. Now, I would also add, this story, which is often told about Condi Rice, almost like a Steven Spielberg movie. It's like a light bulb goes off and everything changes. Well, you know, we all know life doesn't work quite that way. The reality is that she was in desperate search for a major beyond piano, and this seemed good at the time. It was interesting, and that's really how it happened.
How many mentors did she have over time who saw someone in this person and reached out and tried to bring her along, or she saw that if she focused on a mentor that she would advance herself?
There were a number of very important mentors. The first was Joseph Korbel. The second would be Brent Scowcroft, who was the national security advisor to President Bush's father. And he saw her as someone extraordinarily bright and focused. She spoke out at on the West Coast, and he focused in on her and thought, who was that? Later, George Shultz was a mentor to her at Stanford when she went out to Stanford.
President Reagan's Secretary
right.
of State.
And, of course, George Bush is a mentor to her, although she's mentored to him as well.
Mm. You write about her interactions with football players, college level.
I would say her dates rather than interactions.
Her dates. Okay, that's fine. There's a reference to the idea that as this very smart woman who can intimidate some men, she finds some way to be very intelligent in a way that makes the other person feel smart.
This was, yes, she dated football players at Notre Dame when she was there and dated a star player for the Denver Broncos when she was in graduate school. The players knew how smart Condi Rice was. But when she was with them, she didn't talk about the Soviet Union. She talked about football. And because of her father had been a coach in high school. Because of her father, she really knew football. She would tell people that football is really about taking territory.
When she moved to the White House and had some real power of her own, did she go right on finding a way to make the people around her feel smart?
At the White House, as National Security Advisor in the first term of this administration, was one of the worst periods of her life, I would say, because she came in with only 2 years of mid-level White House experience. And she was in charge of, as National Security Advisor, of coordinating the elephants in the room, Vice President Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld. these men had decades of government experience, and so she had trouble. And she saw quickly that the main source of her power would be her closeness to the president, her friendship with the president. And that's what she did for those 4 years. She essentially became the president's friend.
They were too close to each other?
You can argue that she was reluctant to push him too hard. And he perhaps didn't push her to do what needed to be done. On the other hand, people also say the president got the national security advisor he wanted.
Are you suggesting that the very thing that kept her relevant, her closeness to the president, in the end held her back from things she would have needed to do to be a great national security advisor?
I think you can make that argument in the first term, but I also think that her relationship with the president helped her and diplomacy in the second term, because I think she used that relationship in the second term to push him towards diplomacy with Iran, toward diplomacy with North Korea, and towards the Middle East Peace Conference that occurred at Annapolis. People often talk about how Condi Rice and the president are so different. I think they're remarkably alike. They are both products of their own elite. You know, Bush from the Northeastern establishment, and Condi Rice, the Southern black professional class. And they both are supremely self-confident on the surface, but they harbor deep resentments underneath. I mean, Condi Rice, like the president, has been underestimated her entire life, you know, as an African-American, as a woman, and often as the youngest person in the room. So I think they had a bond there beyond just exercise and sports, which was clearly a bond as well.
You suggested that they mentored each other. What did she learn from him?
Well, before this, she was really, I would argue, a pragmatist. That would have been her training. She was in the Republican, you know, realist mold of Brent Scowcroft.
Which means don't go around the world talking about spreading democracy.
That's right. But the president latched onto that and was talking about spreading democracy in the Middle East before he made a big speech in the Rose Garden in June of 2002. And Condi Rice embraced it, partly because it was what the boss wanted. But secondly, I think she emotionally embraced it because it reminded her a bit of what it was like growing up in Birmingham, being treated like a second-class citizen. She was very offended when she was a child and when people would tell her that blacks weren't ready for the vote. She kind of expanded that thought into the Middle East and was offended when people would say that people in the Middle East aren't ready for a democracy. You know, they're not as good as we are. That has not worked, obviously, as well as they had planned. And so we haven't heard too much talk about spreading democracy around the world.
We've been listening to Elizabeth Buemiller, author of Condoleezza Rice, An American Life. Thanks.
Thank you.